Family, thank you for the opportunity to be here. And for the last 4 years that Marty was in St. Louis, I had the privilege of being one of her pastors, and I thank you for that. And just want to extend my condolences from our family to you. Now, those of us that know Marty, we know for years, maybe as long as I've known Marty, she's been saying, I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to leave. And so we're happy for her that this longing, this wonderful longing has been fulfilled, but that doesn't mean it doesn't hurt for those of us that are still here. And so anything that you all need, I know this church and ours and the others that are represented here would love to be with you and will continue to pray for you and walk with you with whatever it is that you need. I want to speak briefly around two verses, John 11, verse 25. Both of these were read today, and John 14, chapter 6. And I chose these verses because Marty told me to. She was very direct in many ways. And direct about what she wanted. And she wanted me to talk to you about these wonderful verses, about who Jesus is, and the fact that Jesus is real. Jesus is real. I'm going to read them, just those two verses, and then pray. 1 John 11, verse 25, which Neil read to us a little earlier. Jesus said to her, to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, to Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is God's word. Let's open together in prayer. Father, we thank you for the time you've given us now to come and remember Marty's life, but celebrate what you did in her life and celebrate the love that she had for you. We thank you for the ways in which our lives are richer because of your work in Marty and her love for us. So we pray you guide us now as we look at these verses that Marty loved and she wanted us to talk about today. Holy Spirit, we pray you would move in this place. Help us to understand the words we read, but also give us power to be able to live in light of them. We ask all this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Now, one thing that we know about Marty is that Marty was real. And by that, I mean she was truthful. Literally, what you saw was what you got. And what you heard was what you got. She's very honest and straightforward. There are a couple things I remember. I think Marty used to sit kind of right over there, kind of where Phyllis is. Phyllis, can you wave right in that section? And I remember sometimes when Marty would like the sermon, when I preached, she might, if we could meet after the service, she'd wave to me to come here. Or if I didn't see her and she wanted to get my attention, I would feel this punch in my arm. Or I'd feel a rolled up liturgy hitting me in the arm to get my attention, and she'd wait for me to come so she could whisper something in my ear, and she would bend down and she would say, I just want to tell you, that was a hell of a sermon. And she said with that volume, that her whispering voice and her outside voice, they're all the same. They're all the same volume. I'd say, thank you, Marty. But that was just a wonderful thing. But one of the things, man, I loved about Marty, and I learned from her, is she's always learning. She's always learning about God's word. And many, many times, I can remember talking with Marty after the service, and she would talk about something she got from the sermon or from the Sunday school class earlier that she was going to use in her Ephesians Bible study at Tower Grove Manor. Or in the Gospel of John, she was going to use it. So she was always taking what she learned from God's word and applying it. But I think maybe the thing that I remember most, and I have gone back to when I first heard that Marty had died, is I remembered being in the hospital in 2018 when Marty was so ill. And I remember being in the hospital with Rachel. I don't know if you remember this. But Marty said to me, was talking to us about this incredible reconciliation that you guys had had with her in the hospital. And you could see on her, she was so deeply moved. And she was repentant. God had done something in her to show her where she had been wrong. And it was like she was learning it. And she was so excited and so appreciative. It didn't matter that she was in the hospital and she's feeling terrible. She loved you so much. And she was so excited to see what God had done in bringing you back together. And I'll never forget that. She was real. And not just in the sense that she was honest and straightforward. Marty was also real, and I learned from her about this. She was real about her own brokenness. She didn't try to hide that. She didn't try to cover it up. She didn't try to paint a Christian picture of what she thought a Christian might supposed to look like. She was very real about that, and she was very real about her need for Jesus. And she wanted everybody to know what she'd come to learn and that she'd come to depend on the fact that her hope wasn't in the fact that Marty was real. Her hope was in the fact that Jesus is real. Not only in the sense of being a real person who existed and who exists now and who will exist for all time, but being real in the sense that we can know him, that we can have life with him, that he will walk with us in every single aspect of our lives. And Marty exemplified that. She knew and she banked her life on the fact that Jesus is not just some made-up storybook character, that Jesus is real. And so I just want to look briefly in these verses. And what I want to do is just ask some questions about these verses and see what we can take away from the fact that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. So they already answer the what question, right? What is Jesus saying? He says, I am the resurrection and the life, and I am the way and the truth and the life. But what's the significance of that? What difference does it make? What did he mean? Well, in John 11, right after he says, I am the resurrection and the life, he tells us, here's what it means. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he says to Martha, do you believe this? And I say to you, do you believe this? This is what he said. And then if you fast forward over to John 14, very simply, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And you ask, okay, Jesus, what difference does that statement make? And he tells us in the next part of that verse where he says, no one comes to the Father except through me. So that's a significance. So what? So who? Who was Jesus talking to when he said these things? Was he teaching a seminary class on systematic theology and they were talking about Christology? Was it a sermon in a church congregation? Was it a Christian education class that he's teaching? No. He's talking with a couple of his closest friends. The first statement that he made is to his good friend Martha. He says to her, I'm the resurrection and the life. And then the second is to Thomas, who's one of his disciples. And so he says it in front of all the disciples, but specifically to Thomas. So what's the significance of who he said these things to? The fact that Jesus is real. He's not just some esoteric concept, but he's a real person who deals with real people just like us. He's a God with us. And that's good news. So that's the who. Now, what about the when and the where? When was it that Jesus, and where was it that he spoke these words? And again, it wasn't a systematic theology class teaching on Christology. It wasn't an apologetics class on the I am statements in the Gospel of John or apologetics. It wasn't a debate in a university setting on the existence of Jesus. He's talking to his friends in the midst of their pain and their suffering, and their grief, And they're asking questions and they're wondering about life and wondering what's going to happen next. He comes to them in their times of confusion. Martha, you remember in the passage that Neil read, she had called for Jesus to come because he was sick. And they knew, they had seen evidence that Jesus had the power to be able to heal someone who's sick. But they called Jesus and he didn't come. And so she says to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Maybe some of you have felt things like that. You say, Lord, if you had been here, then this wouldn't have happened. Lord, if you had really been here, then my friend that I love, my mother, my sister, my wife, my whatever it is, would not have died. Lord, if you had been here. What about to Thomas and the disciples when Jesus says those words? It's right after the fact Jesus says, I'm leaving. Now, they just spent three and a half years of their lives with him. They'd left everything to follow him. They changed their lives completely around. And Jesus says, I'm leaving, and you can't come with me. So just imagine that you're in their shoes. This is when he says those things. And so what's the significance of that before we go on? It's that he's real, that he is with us in our times of questioning, in our times of grieving, in our times of sorrow, in our times of pain, in our times of being alone, in our times of not knowing what's going to happen next. The fact that Jesus is real is good news because it means that he's with us in the midst of those times. So we've asked the what and the who and the when and the where. How about why? Why did Jesus speak these things to those people in those places at that time? Well, in both cases, with Martha and Thomas and the disciples, Jesus is calling them to faith. He's calling them to believe. He's calling them to believe in who he is, and so that by believing, they might have life in his name. And he says this to those maybe who don't have faith in Jesus yet. He's calling them to believe in him and have the life that he's talking about, not only right then, but for all eternity. And to those who had faith in him already, he was calling them to a deeper and more tangible faith. In the first instance, he wanted Martha to know, not only can I heal the sick, but I also have the power to raise the dead. And not just in general, but your loved one in particular. And then with Thomas and his disciples, he was calling them to believe even more. They already believed. They're already following him. But he wanted them to believe that they would have even more of his presence and more of his power when he left, because he would send his spirit to not only be with them, but to even be in them because of their belief in him. That Jesus, who's real, calls us to the same today. He calls us to believe in him. Lastly, let's just ask how. How did they respond to these things? Well, how did Martha respond? Do you remember? Jesus said to her, do you believe this? And she said, Lord, yes. Yes, I believe. Even in the midst of her pain and her sorrow, and Jesus didn't explain why he'd taken so long, she said, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ. You are the Son of God. You are the one who is to come. And then in the second instance, what did it mean for his disciples? How did they respond? Well, they believed. And they kept on asking. And they kept on seeking. And honestly, they kept on failing. And kept on getting back up again. And kept on learning more and more and more about who he is and what it means to follow him. And it changed their lives forever. And what the book of Acts says about them is these guys shook up the world. And so we've seen how they responded, but what about us today? How do we respond to the fact that Jesus is real? We celebrate today because Marty knew that Jesus is real, and so she responded in faith. But what about us? How do we respond to the Jesus who's real? The one who's the resurrection and the life. How do we respond to the one who is the way and the truth and the life? And you say, well, those are some pretty big claims that he's making there. How can he claim such things? What gives him the right to to be able to say these bold things that he's saying. Well, a little bit later in this passage that Marty loved, the Apostle Paul writes about Jesus, this one who's real, that being in very nature God, he didn't consider equality with God something to be held on to. But he humbled himself and made himself nothing. And being found in appearance as a man, as one of us, he humbled himself, not only just becoming a man, but all the way to the point of death, even death on a cross, the most humiliating, shameful death that you could die. But then it says about him that God exalted him to the highest place and has given him the name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that this Jesus that Marty knew, this Jesus who's real, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. The writer John has written these things. He says, so that we might believe, and by believing, that we might have life in his name. And so if you've come today and you don't know him, he calls and he invites you to believe. He calls you, invite you, not just to believe in some theological concept, but he calls you and invites you to relationship, to knowledge, to belief, to faith in him. And to those of us that know him already, guess what? He calls us to the same thing. He calls and invites us to believe more and more of who he is, and more so that we can walk continually with him through the power of his Spirit. We're so glad today for the chance that we had to know Marty, to know this Marty who's real. But I know the thing that Marty wanted us all to know, the thing that Marty wanted for today, for all of us, is Marty would want her life to point to the fact that Jesus Christ is real, so that we might believe in him. And by believing, we might have life in his name. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Marty. We thank you for saving her. We thank you for changing her. We thank you that all the way through her life, into her old age, all the way up to her death, she was still learning. She's learning about you, that communicates to us just how inexhaustible you are. And so we praise you and we glorify you for that. But Lord, we pray that we would know the one that Marty knew, that we would know more deeply if we know you already, Jesus. But maybe there's some who've come today, they don't know you yet. And I pray that even now you might move in their hearts to draw them to believe in you and who you are, and to become a part of your people, the church, your body. Lord, we thank you that you're real, and that is our hope today. That's why we grieve without hope. We grieve with hope, rather, not as those without hope. We thank you for all this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand together.